The state of Michigan has reached a $600 million settlement with victims of the Flint water crisis, 6 years after tens of thousands of people were exposed to lead in the city's water supply. Most of the money will go to children. Some 8,000 kids are believed to have had some level of lead poisoning in the city. The state is also proposing an additional $9 million settlement that will go toward a special education fund in Flint. It's a response to the class action lawsuit brought by the ACLU, demanding Flint schools test and accommodate the increased demand in special education programs. We're joined now by attorney Kristen Totten with the ACLU. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So big news yesterday. So much attention has been on the $600 million claim settlement, but that additional $9 million for schools is not insignificant. It's something that you've been fighting for. What's your reaction to these actions?
We have been working on this case for 5 years, and we are very excited because we knew that this would be the second phase of our case. The first part was the child find component, where we identify what the children's needs are. And we were able to settle that by getting a neurodevelopmental center established in Flint. The state gave us $4 million to get that operational. Now the rest of the case continues, which is once we are identifying what the children need, we have to make sure that they get the services and the interventions needed to address what needs they have.
Let's talk a little bit about those needs. We know that in Flint, 28% of the students are in special education. Can you break down for us what this fund is earmarked to do?
Yeah, so the details of the fund are still in process, and October 15th is when we have the due date to report those out. But what we're looking at is making sure that districts are putting evidence-validated resources in play to address the systemic needs of children that we're seeing. From the NCE, the Neurodevelopmental Center, we're seeing a lot of children come through there with a diagnosis of autism that was never captured by the school district. Diagnosis such as dyslexia, you know, for those kinds of disabilities, what are the targeted interventions that a district would need in order to address that? Because we see 28% is a very high rate of special education identification. The state average is 12%. So as we see the needs increase, we want to make sure that districts are encouraged to identify and meet those needs because children shouldn't have to figure that out, and they're incapable of doing that on their own, and they'll internalize the distress for not meeting the expectations of the adults, and they'll end up either shutting down and entering into the mental health system or acting out and entering into the criminal justice system. And we don't want that for any of the children of Flint who've been inflicted with this neurotoxin.
Kristen, I can imagine, though, this is kind of bittersweet because all the things that you're laying out and what you're fundamentally contending is that these children have been forever changed and altered by this exposure to lead.
Yes, that's been the difficulty of hearing the stories and bearing witness to what the families have experienced. And what we've been trying to do in this case and have been able to through the two settlements we've been able to achieve is to say, we hear you, we see you, and you're not alone. We want to make sure that we follow this through and get you the support that you need so that you're not gaslighted and thinking that it's all in your head. No, lead is an invisible disability that was inflicted upon your children. It's manifesting in these various challenges that your child now has. How can we walk with you through this rather than letting narratives that are racially infused, such as bad families or bad kids, or you're not reading to your child enough. Those are just lies that need to be dismissed. And we need to get to the truth as to how the children are really struggling and get the families the help that they need. There's such relief when a mama comes and tells me her story and I see it, I understand it, but I also want to be able to do something about it. And I really do believe that this settlement helps equip us to get us there.
How is this, if at all, complicated by the pandemic and the fact that so many students are remote learning and have moved to other places, other states, Detroit, and those types of things?
Yeah, so with the pandemic, it puts a whole other layer of crisis on top of the water crisis, the racism crisis, and the COVID crisis. So we are using it as a pause to really assess what the needs are by looking more closely at how the IEPs are identifying children. We're kind of utilizing this time of school closure and virtual platforms to get to a deeper need within those systems.
So what's next for Flint schools and the parents you represent? What are the next steps in getting this fund approved?
So the next steps are it has to be court approved. So we'll be going before the judge to get that approval. We have had all of the defendants in our case sign on, so we are already at work. But the beauty of this settlement is it extends beyond just Flint Community Schools. You know, the money's going to follow the children. So all the children that were inflicted, if they have gone to a charter school, if they have gone to another adjacent school district, those districts are going to be able to ask for resources to service the needs of the children of Flint. And the first step is we want to get a deeper dive assessment as to what the needs are within the educational system.
That's ACLU education attorney Kristen Totten. Thank you so much.
Thank you.